New South Wales' first locally acquired coronavirus infection in 40 days. The case has been recorded in the Bondi area of eastern Sydney, and authorities are now racing to track down the source of the infection. New South Wales Health says the man has not travelled overseas in recent times and has worked as a driver, including transporting international flight crew. The man visited a number of venues while potentially infectious, including a screening of the film Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard at Event Cinemas at Bondi Junction on Sunday. People in Melbourne are set to descend on their regional snowfields in droves as weeks of travel restrictions draw to an end. Acting Victorian Premier James Molino says the ban on travel to regional Victoria would be scrapped from midnight tomorrow, paving the way for Melbourne residents to venture beyond their city precincts. But they'll first need to get tested 72 hours before leaving Melbourne and show evidence of a negative test upon arrival. Chief Health Officer Brett Sutton says the precautionary measure would apply strictly to the snowfields and not all of regional Victoria.
The industry has to be protected. We need to make sure that there are no cases that go up on the mountain. Even though, you know, the number in Metro Melbourne may well be tiny, a single case who's infectious up on the mountain would be a potential super spreading event.
Australian researchers are hailing the discovery of cutting-edge technology that enables the detection of cancers with pinpoint accuracy. Magnetic particle imaging is able to detect magnetic nanoparticles anywhere in the body and has greater tracer sensitivity over the more established form of medical imaging, MRI. Researchers at Monash University say magnetic particle imaging is non-invasive and can monitor chemotherapy treatments and make them more effective with targeted heating. Dr. Karen Alt from the University's Centre for Blood Diseases says magnetic particle imaging allows for more and better targeted cancer treatments.
With the MPI, we can take a picture and can only just heat a certain area with the hypersystem.
In overseas news, the Israeli military and Hamas have both confirmed they are preparing for fighting to resume less than a month after agreeing to a ceasefire. The ceasefire was broken this morning when Israeli aircraft struck Hamas military compounds in Gaza after Hamas launched incendiary balloons, which sparked at least 10 fires in southern Israel. And the French President Emmanuel Macron has backed Australia's latest free trade deal with the UK. Mr. Macron described Australia as being on the front lines of tensions in the Indo-Pacific. And in finance, the Australian market edged up slightly at the close of trade, with the ASX 200 up nearly 7 points to close at 7,386. Energy stocks led the way, but the mining sector fell. The market had earlier reached a record 7,400 mark, but eased back in the afternoon. The Australian dollar is slightly down. It's buying 76.9 US cents. Turning to sport, in swimming, Madeline Goh has surprised even herself in breaking the Australian record by 6 seconds in the women's 1500 metre freestyle final. Goh clocked 15 minutes 46.13 seconds, qualifying for her first Olympic Games.
I mean, I knew I'd done a lot of training, but it's amazing to actually swim a good race.
Goh's time was the second fastest this year, only American Katie Ledecky going faster.
National Radio News, produced by Charles Sturt University, the Community Radio Network, and supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
Yeah, I know it's hard to see the future and imagine it's bright. I have dimmed my lights down, I keep crashing at night. Every foster home I'm rusted in, I'm highly distorted. The pain ain't going nowhere, I don't try to avoid it. Adapted to nightmares, so it is hard to stay focused. Homie, I've been homeless, I struggle to know what hope is. Told my bro, hold tight, a cold night and I hate it. Sleep through the horrors though, not to know if I make it. Used to scrunch up newspapers, stuck it under my jacket. Underneath the layers, homie, I was broken and damaged. Often wondered what happened, if I'm loving and happy. I'm not used to that though, I am destruction and havoc. Sometimes it's too much to bear, can you carry my load? I know the streets snatch you up, so we rarely die old. I used to sleep next to bakeries to gain some warmth. Kinda crazy how you saved me in the heart of the storm.
So build me up. this concrete pillow.
My decisions are haunting me, I ain't staring at fate. And you ain't missing much than watching me deteriorate. Like an undeveloped form which was born for life, instead tortured in darkness and torn from light. And my burden is so heavy that my neck is weak. Use concrete as a pillow, yes I slept on streets. And I don't understand why it's rest in peace. Even though it ain't an option for most that live deceased. I can greet you with a smile while I'm calling your name. Underneath my grin, homie, there is torture and pain. And the burden I'm carrying is now a ball and chain. I often run in sunshine, then I walk in rain. It's the tune that soothes me, it pours like medicine. My music can tell my story more than I ever can. I ain't trying to get sympathy or blow up my chest. It's the only way, homie, I release all my stress.
Live 90.5.
To the hills, Parramatta and Cumberland.
In the market to purchase your new home? Sick of attending open homes? Tired of being beaten at auction? It's time to put the buying experts to work for you. Hi, I'm Michael Savartis from Real Property Buyers, and our job is to take the hassle out of purchasing property. Our independent team will do the house hunting for you and make sure you buy the right property at the right price. So no matter whether it's your first home or your forever home, visit Real Property Buyers realproperty.com.au and let us take the stress out of purchasing your new home.
Real Property Buyers are proud sponsors of Alive 90.5.
Okay, medical students, who can tell me what blood type A means?
It means that A-type antigens are in the blood.
Very good. And who can tell me what B-type blood means?
Oh, me.
Yes.
A B-type blood means...
Blacktown! Blacktown! Blacktown City! Woo! Blacktown City is in the blood.
And is it a rare blood type?
Not around my neck of the woods.
Show your support and show up. Blacktown City FC. Your town, your team.
For over 25 years, ATP Accounting and Taxation Professionals has been doing business accountancy, tax agency and advisory. Based in Norwest Business Park, Farid Zeki, founder of ATP, is passionate about helping clients grow their business, achieve greater profits, enjoy wealth, minimise tax, maintain cash flow and protect assets. If you are a business or individual who plans to succeed in wealth management and greater financial freedom, please call Farid on 8850-3888 or email farid@atpaccounting.com.au. He is always open for business connections and opportunities. atpaccounting.com.au, your friendly accounting and taxation professionals. Station sponsor.
One, two, three.
Two in three child car seats are not being used properly. And if you don't put your child in their car seat correctly, they're 7 times more likely to sustain life-threatening injuries in the event of a crash. They're counting on you. Make sure your child is safe. Find out at childcarseats.com.au. A message from the New South Wales Government.
Valentine, and you're listening to Point of View with Aparna.
Miles away. just a boy with a broken toy, all lost and coy. Back to curtains of your mind. So it's here.
The Chris Comerford Band is a charismatic five-piece soul outfit from Mornington Peninsula, Victoria. An established name throughout the region, these rousing soul rockers embody the same passion and grit that's so ingrained in Melbourne's broader scenes. And their latest single, Sugar, we'll be playing very, very shortly. But first up, here is Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, you know, you tell us. You are the ones with lots and lots of lockdowns.
Yeah, we've been just sort of let out of our cage again, which is nice.
I know, right? You can't cage a good thing for too long.
That's it. We are really looking forward to when we can sort of come up to New South Wales and play some music and enjoy the wonderful climate, because getting out of winter is sort of a pastime of Victoria.
Chris Comerford Band. I mean, it's just so heavy. There's so much weight in it.
In the band name?
In the name, yes.
It's quite a bit of a mouthful of a band name, I know. I started off as a solo performer, just under my own name, and I was really, as a songwriter, writing my own stuff, and I wanted some people to play with. I was still doing a lot of the songwriting myself, so I essentially made a band. I was always really a bit turned off by, you know, watching, you know, I studied music at uni and seeing bands form and then bands break up and then they write these songs and then all these good songs go to waste. And I sort of vowed never to get into that. And so I created the Chris Comerford Band essentially as a, you know, everlasting organism that, you know, doesn't matter if a band member comes along and maybe goes on to another venture or whatever, you know, the band can live on and the songs can live on and it, you know, they can live on. And that was kind of the inspiration behind it. I'm a massive blues fan as well, and I do I love, you know, the Dave Matthews Band and the Tedeschi Trucks Band, and they all seem to have, it's an old sort of jazz thing, I think, when they, back in the day, the band leader's name got put in the band. So I sort of just went with it, and it's been like that ever since. I've considered changing it a few times because it kind of feels a bit daggy having your name out the front there, but I think it's kind of got enough movement now. It's a bit late to change it.
Well, I wasn't hinting towards a change of any sort. It was more like, it's heavy, man.
Heavy.
It's heavy. It's heavy. It's like, it's got a lot of weight to it. It's not like one of those, you know, it's the Chris Comerford Band, you know, it's like big.
Cool.
When you get MCs to announce your band name, just make sure they say it with such aplomb, you know, the Chris Comerford Band is here, folks, you know, and then get started.
We might have to bring you along to our shows.
Done.
To announce it, I think.
Done, yeah. And done. It's my favorite thing in the whole world anyway.
Awesome. I'll see you there.
Done. Just as long as there are no further lockdowns, I will be there.
Amazing. Yeah. How do you like Victoria?
I quite like Victoria. I've been to Mornington Peninsula as well, and there was a horse there on one of the farms called the Big Red. Oh yes, and he was one big horse, massive horse, huge actually.
Amazing.
I remember that. Yes,
I actually know that horse. I'm friends with that horse.
Really? The Big Red.
Maybe.
Well, who knows? Maybe you're just next door neighbors, and you know, we are visitors. But who? I mean, you're a local there, so obviously you probably do know. Who knows?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Enough about horses. Tell us about music. How did you get into music? Who introduced you, mum or dad, or was it other family, or you just yourself? You got up one day and said, "No, this is it. This is what I do."
Pretty much, I have never ever thought about doing anything else, and it's never been a matter of choice. I think a lot of artists will tell you, and you might have spoken to a lot of artists, that they tend to say it just becomes who they are, and it's a way of life, and you don't really really get much satisfaction out of doing anything else, you know, career-wise or job-wise or activity-wise. It engulfs you, and you pretty much just are a part of it. And that's been very much my experience with it. I grew up, no real musical predecessors in my family, no one to really tell me to do it. It was just something I gravitated towards and somehow managed to be stubborn enough to keep practicing and get all right at. And then I just stuck with it, and there was just always this voice in my head saying, you know, there's no real other option. But at the same time, it wasn't like a last ultimatum. It was just the way, essentially. So I grew up playing guitar in high school, and then I had a band in just out of high school, and we played at open mic nights, and I just got this real thirst for performing and writing music and playing songs. And so I studied guitar, and I study singing now as well. And you know, it's just the biggest joy. Pretty much the love of my life, other than the other love of my life. But I'm so grateful that I've given it my all, and I'm enjoying most of the moment so far. It's certainly being a creative person and having to explore emotions through songwriting, it certainly does open you up to just being exposed, which I guess it's always good for you. That's how I got started.
Interesting. And how about the other members in the band?
So the other members of the band are partially family and friends. We've got a saxophone player who also plays keys. I've got a second guitarist my partner is my second guitarist. She's been in the band for maybe like 2 years now, since we released our first EP, Mood, in 2019. 2020 doesn't really count. We didn't do too much in that year. And then the saxophonist is my partner's sister. So there's a bit of family vibes going around there. The drummer, our drummer Alex, Sebastian is our saxophone player. Marlon is our guitarist. And Alex is our drummer. He went to uni with Sebastian, who they studied over in Mount Gambier with James Morrison, the famous trumpet player. And our bass player Tiana is a very old friend of mine from university, and she's been with us for many years on and off. So blessed to have a really sort of tight knit of people around.
Because I can see it in the picture that you have placed in the media release. I can see there's camaraderie. It's not made up. It's not a pose for a shot. So please forward my thoughts to the rest of the group. I'll really appreciate that.
Oh, great. Thanks. Yeah, these are our new press photos. We love them. Yeah, they're definitely, you know, that's the serious moment. But there were certainly there were some photos that were pretty funny that came out of that I don't think will be released anytime soon anyway. But we wanted to go for serious. We wanted people to take it serious first, I think.
Sure. Walk us through Sugar and the 4 year production time, or 4 years in the making. Walk us through that.
Wow,
I mean,
yeah.
that's tremendous amounts of work for one song.
Sugar was like a cat walking upon a 3 million story building that fell off. And then kept falling and kept falling and kept falling, and somehow after 4 years of falling, landed on its feet and looked and sounded pretty great. So I wrote Sugar a long time ago, and
2016.
I was really into R&B style. Sorry,
was it 2016 you wrote that, or even earlier than that?
Maybe 2016. Yeah.
Okay.
And I had an idea on my loop pedal. I just had that intro, you know, that you might hear if you play the tune, with the two guitar parts, kind of one sounds almost a bit sitarish, and one more of a chordal idea, and those two sort of meshing together on just a loop pedal. And then I plugged a microphone into my loop pedal and started singing the chorus harmonies, and I just created this idea, and then I tried to record it, and I just couldn't somehow recapture that magic. I was going off a video on my iPhone of the amp and the loop pedal. And I was really into R&B at the time, could never really nail that sound. So I spent a lot of time learning about R&B and soul music and trying to find what were the, you know, the crucial components, how to sing like that, how to, you know, try. And at the end of the day, I realized that everything that I write ends up sounding like me to some level anyway. So I had to become content with the idea that, you know, this still sounds like me. It doesn't sound like anything else. But basically 2 years ago, we had the song in the studio ready to go. And I pulled the pin on it. I was really unhappy. I didn't feel good about it. I was probably in a bad place. It probably sounded fine, but personally, I just couldn't gel with it. Every time I heard it, it made me feel this kind of yucky feeling. And I knew that the song was meant to make you feel really good, just based on, you know, the whole sort of soundscape of it and the meaning of the tune. And so I decided to throw it in the song bin. And it wasn't until Sebastian, our sax player, and Lenny, the second guitarist, sort of convinced me that this tune needed to live on. Okay, cool. So they sort of, you know, really gave me the courage to bring the song back, work on it more, you know, put aside all those things that I was worried about and bring it to life. And we sent it off to a really esteemed producer in Melbourne who's worked with, you know, John Butler Trio and the Cat Empire and the Pierce Brothers. And he just put this sort of psychedelic spin on it that just, you know, it was like the finishing thing that it needed to just glue. And that's what you're going to hear today. I'm really, really, really happy with it. And it's a weird feeling to go from, you know, feeling so, I guess, you know, unsatisfied to suddenly like the penny dropping and you're going, oh no, this was fine. And it was fine this whole time. It was just me being fussy.
You being Chris Comerford.
Yeah, hard to please, I think.
Right. Well, we should ask this question of the other band members, perhaps. So you've got shows coming up, and you've got something on the 21st of August as well.
Shows are a sensitive topic at the moment in Victoria. Mm. We did have a show on the 21st of August, but that's been moved to, I think, the 8th of August. I think we've moved that date. This has only happened recently. We've got some dates around the state of Vic. We're sort of just waiting to release them due to, like, restrictions and that kind of thing. And then a few more at the end of the year. But, yeah, it's been winter, sort of a bit of a bunker down and work on songs and rehearse for us, sort of the cliche band.
So that brings me nicely to the next question, Chris, because I must ask you this. How has the lockdown, hurt the local musicians and for some who make a living out of it, how difficult has it been? Would you
it's
know?
It's been pretty hard, and that's, you know, not trying to sound dramatic. Playing a gig for an artist and a band, it's not just a form of income, it's also essentially like a large release of tension, you know, creative tension. So when you play a show, you really push everything out, and then you know it's a great, you're exhausted, but it's a great feeling because you gave it your all. That lying dormant for so long, especially over 2020, and even this little lockdown here, with, you know, we had a few shows cancelled, which really hurts. You know, it hurts your creative spirit, I guess. So not playing the live stream thing was okay, but it was a bit bizarre. It kind of, everyone was doing it, so there was always just everything everywhere. So we tried our hardest at that, but yeah, the music industry is in pain at the moment. I think venues are also in pain. Venues are struggling, which means they're not putting bands on as much. They're not paying as much. It's really unfair the way the industry's been treated over this whole time. You know, I mean, every industry deserves some kind of help. And the arts kind of just get chicken feed, it seems. We're a big industry and we contribute a lot to the world. And not just music, you know, other art forms too. Our entertainment is, you know, we have music in our movies, we have, you know, music on the radio, we have music everywhere. It's, you know, it's how we escape, and we need to be supported so that we can keep making music for everyone and art in general. I think because it's so ingrained in our, like I said before, you know, it's just what you do. because it's part of you. You know, we don't have a choice to not do art. So the fact that we don't get paid or we don't get a government help out, it just kind of means that we're just poorer musicians. We don't go off and do another job, you know. So without getting too political, but the lockdown has definitely impacted us. I think we haven't seen the ramifications fully yet.
And we won't for a while, Chris. And we won't for a while, Chris, because it's a very troubling situation, and it is actually extremely scary. But once again, the human spirit must rise, from the ashes. We all have to play our part as a phoenix, and I guess there you go. That's a nice idea for a song for you.
There you go. That's nice. Yeah. Thank you. I'll have to credit you when you come and MC our shows.
Of course. And and it's a very, very challenging, extremely actually challenging times ahead of us. And the way the economy has been hurt across the globe, it's going to be a mammoth task.
If we all just sort of, invest in love rather than money. Stop letting the rich white people of the world sort of, stomp their foot around and say what's what. If we all just try to love each other and look after each other and give a handout when it's needed and help your neighbor, no matter what they look like or what they believe in, I think we'll end up getting through this a lot quicker than worrying about, about money and all that kind of stuff. It's important, but I think, without people, we don't have a world.
Well, the Earth wouldn't mind.
If we
were wiped out, our Earth is actually going. Mother Earth will actually smile. Good riddance to bad.
I've seen a good meme of that. It was like the Earth talking to a planet, and it had a tissue, and it was like blowing its Earth nose. And the moon, I think it was a moon, or maybe Jupiter, was saying, "Oh, what's the matter?" And the Earth said, "I've got humans," as if it was some kind of virus. So it was quite funny and sad at the same time. I think maybe those things are just designed to help us sort of do a bit more for the planet. But yeah,
exactly. If to battle this nonsensical travesty that has been thrown our way, PPE kits galore, gloves. Just think about it. I mean, just the mere thought of how we were talking about that the single-use plastic, is killing the oceans, and by 2030 there'll be more plastic bags in the ocean than fish actually, and here we are.
Like we were just on the edge of making the climate matter, and then this thing happened where we had to.
So can you imagine these heavy PPE kits and all these gloves and everything that the medical services are using and have had to use in the past 18 months? Can you imagine the mammoth piles of more plastic? Can you just imagine?
Yeah, it's a lot, and I really care for our planet, and I hate saying that, but So it's definitely something that we're going to have a big cleanup. And you guys can dance to Sugar. You can dance to my song while you are cleaning up. Hopefully, we can all do it together.
So what happens to the artists who are actually doing tough? Is there something? Is it like an organization or a group? Folks have come together to form help each other out and give each other a helping hand.
Called Support Act, okay. And it's there for musos, it's there for roadies, it's there for anyone in the music industry doing it tough. I haven't sort of needed their services myself, but I've got a lot of friends that have reached out to them, and they're just an amazing organization that needs a lot of. They should be getting more support, and Support Act definitely deserve all the power in the world to help us out.
good to hear. Chris, on that note, I think we should play Sugar to the audience. They are waiting.
Amazing. Thank you so much for talking to me and playing my song. I appreciate it so much. I'm just one of a billion artists and musicians releasing music all around the world. So
imagine if we didn't have a billion of you. Imagine if we didn't. What sort of a dry... nose-blowing world it would be. I will remember that visual. I'll remember that description for a long time.
Yeah, I'll email it to you because it's quite funny.
Yeah? Please do. Please do. I'll put it on my Facebook page.
Oh, yeah.
And have you had a chance to visit the Point of View page on Facebook?
Of course I have.
Excellent. I hope your family and friends join us there and they give us their feedback on what they thought of Sugar when we played. Before I hit the play button, Chris, may I please request you to tell us the background story, the backstory to this particular track and what is the meaning of this song and what message are you conveying to the world?
I would love to tell you the story of Sugar. It's basically a cheesy love song. In a way, you know, I wrote it for my partner. It's sort of that moment where it's not a real situation that essentially happened, but it's sort of, it has all my love inside the song, and it's sort of just my way of, just, you know, when I first met her, I was just so head over heels, and I just, you know, I knew that she liked me, and we were just super into each other, and it's just really about capturing that feeling in a moment and creating a story around it, and letting everyone else kind of feel good about it too, because it's a great feeling that the early stages when you realize you got something good worth holding on to. So Sugar's about a really, really sweet little love situation.
Not a Maroon 5 inspired Sugar, different Sugar.
Oh, do they have a song called Sugar?
Yes.
Oh, well, I didn't even know that. Oh my goodness. Sorry, Team Maroon 5. I better listen to that.
Did you just call your name Sugar? You know, too bad, too late.
that's right. I've got double the amount of sweetness in my song.
Exactly. On that note, let's do this. Let's play Sugar.
Thank you so much. Enjoy.
Here we go, folks. And talk to you soon, Chris.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Baby, break my heart in two. If you'll ever say we're through, and I can smell your sweet perfume, just a touch of honey too, feeding off the air in the room. But girl, you know I feel it too. Oh, you're like sugar so sweet. Things we do, rock around like a ship in a storm. Oh, if your body's wealthy, we'll give to the poor. Some bread or some water, just some food for thought. Let's get down tonight, yeah. Oh, you like sugar so sweet. Got much time, honey, what you say, 'cause we don't got much time, honey, what you say, we don't got much time, but honey, what you say, say we don't got.
Alive 90.5.
Hello, I'm Sam Amone and Director of Cherrybrook Real Estate, the specialist in residential management. Call us on 9980 9860. We pride ourselves on taking the stress out of property management, looking after you and your investment at a competitive rate. If you need property management, call me, Sam Amone from Cherrybrook Real Estate, 9980 9860.
Station sponsor.
We are the Insight Intelligence Group, specialising in Australian corporate investigations and information risk management, workplace investigations, competitor analysis, social media intelligence, reputational risk management, internal or external investigations. Professional and proactive, Insight Intelligence Group works with you to ensure the success of the investigation. Australia-wide or global, facts, not opinion. 02882 9837. insightintelligence.com.au.
Station sponsor.
Term 2 courses are open for enrolments at the Parramatta College, and they currently have a special double discounts promotion on eligible courses, which includes languages, leisure and lifestyle, computer skills, business and work skills. They also offer various nationally accredited courses fee-free. This training is subsidised by the New South Wales Government. Ready to rock and roll? Call the Parramatta College on 9687 2072. That's 9687 2072. Visit parramattacollege.edu.au for further information. T's and C's and eligibility criteria applies. Station sponsor.
Over the years, I've had my battles with smokes. My lungs got pretty bad. Sometimes I could hardly breathe. I'm not sure why I smoked. I just did. I wanted to be there for my kids, so I quit. I've quit before, I just kept trying. I get to see their smiles every day. Mum and the aunties are pretty happy too. They didn't want me to die from smokes like Dad did. My name is Ted, and family is my story. Don't make smokes your story. For help, download the MyQuit Buddy app, call the Quit Line, or visit Quit Now.
Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra. Spoken by F. Leone.
We'll be right back.
listening to Alive 90.5. This is Point of View with Aparna. My very, very special guests are all set, folks. And the live performance, like every week, is going to start around 7:05. Stick around, and I'll be inviting Bernie Kelly up next to talk to us about what we can do about the, solar panels. I know what your first thought is, but we need this information. It is vital information. And besides music, we do that as well, don't we? Give you lots and lots of important, vital information. Moving can be stressful, but it is important not to overlook the finer details like your new home solar system. 2.7 million rooftop solar systems have now been installed across the country. With the property market booming, Australia's first solar energy marketplace, Bid My Solar, has developed a buyer's guide to purchasing a home with solar. And I will, throughout my chat with Brian, I will be highlighting very, very important points to you. And we bring this to you especially because of coronavirus and what is happening to the market. So bear with me while we get Bernie Kelly to join us. We have Bernie Kelly here with us. Without further ado, let's start the chat. Bernie, hi.
How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Thank you. Apologies for the delay in getting in touch with you. Bernie, why is it this important, and what is the role of Bid My Solar?
Bid My Solar is the very first online electronic marketplace for people looking to invest in solar. It allows them to access the entire market in a confidential way without being bombarded by salespeople trying to sell a particular product. And it allows people for the very first time to compare apples with apples and prices in real time.
And wasn't this your brainchild?
Yes, it's been a long, long time in the making. My background is essentially funds management, financial product design, and financial technology. So I've applied that same concept to the Australian solar market, which has been essentially a very inefficient and quite an opaque market for solar.
This new research reveals 45% of all Aussies would give preference to a home with solar installed when looking to purchase a home, despite 42% admitting they would not have the system checked prior to purchase. This comes as one third would install solar on their home to increase its value. How should we be viewing this, Brian, and what expert advice would you like to give to the audience?
It's a very good question. See, Australia is quite unique in the world when it comes to home solar. We have one of the highest uptakes of solar, and we're unique from the point of view that there are very attractive government incentives to install solar. So that's given rise to a lot of very suspect or shady operators entering the Australian market. So a lot of people that, in fact, a very significant proportion of homes in Australia have what is regarded as substandard solar. So if someone's looking to purchase a home that has solar installed, it's very important to understand what's in fact installed on the roof. Certainly you should never take the real estate agent's word as gospel that it's a good system and it's delivering performance and therefore you should pay a premium because it's got solar. This very smart approach would be to retain a qualified technician. Now, a qualified technician is quite different to just an electrician. So a clean energy council, a qualified technician, you should employ them to do a complete check, firstly to make sure that the system is working and also to ensure that the system is actually quality and it's been installed correctly.
Exactly. And Brian, especially after coronavirus, especially after what, as a world, as the entire humanity, we've suffered a lot. And there's who knows what's going to happen tomorrow. I mean, what are the challenges we will be facing? My request and my question there for you, Brian, is that shouldn't we be harnessing as much as we can from Mother Nature and naturally? Should we not be harvesting rain? Should we not be using more solar panels? Should we, you know, should this not be in our top priority list?
Yeah, and look, that's a very good question. You've asked a number of questions there. Look, the first, with regard to home solar is clearly the leader as far as delivering very significant savings to the home budget. Apart from delivering significant savings to your home budget, yes, it is clean energy. And a good quality solar system should last a lifetime. When I say a lifetime, at least 25 years. So, you know, apart from the financial benefits of installing solar, yet there is very much a green element to it as well. But having said that, you know, solar does have some dark aspects to it. You know, solar panels are currently very difficult to recycle. There has been some, you know, certainly some very significant developments globally and also domestically. A number of companies are leading the world with creating a technology to strip down old solar panels and reuse various components like glasses and various pieces of metal and so forth. So yes, it is a green technology, but as I said, there are some issues with regard to the manufacturing process.